The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord. On one of my parents' wedding anniversaries, I asked my dad, "How did you guys meet?" And he said, "Well, we met at a dance. And I knew immediately when I saw your mom that she was the one. I fell head over heels for her." And he said, "However, had I known that by marrying your mother, I would also have had to put up with your aunt for all these years, I might have rethought the whole thing." How true it is, when we marry, we don't only marry another person. We marry into another family. And we all know what family is. A wonderful gift, and yet a challenge. Whenever we belong to something greater than ourselves, there's always that challenge for us as we enter into relationship with one another. And we know that there are those we truly like. We like them immediately. There are those we can warm up to. And then there are those others. And sometimes we're that other one. We don't always think about that. But in relationships, then, there's always that tension. There's always that need for us to have give and take, to rise above sometimes the pettiness in our own lives in order to be able to see the good in one another, to accept one another, to respect one another, and to live accordingly. The feast that we celebrate today, the Holy Trinity, is not a mystery that we are supposed to solve because we can't. But it is a mystery that we participate in because we have been created in the divine image. We celebrate God, Father, Son, and Spirit, the very reality of God. Three persons, one God, in a perpetual, unending relationship with one another. We were created in that image. Male and female, God created them. And therefore, we were created to be in relationship with the God who has made us, but also with one another. And all that that means for us. And it is in that very building of relationships, that's how we come to know God better than ever. More than trying to approach the reality of God from a theological perspective or a philosophical perspective, we come to know God in relationship because God is relationship, love. And whenever we love, we know God. Imperfectly, yes, but nevertheless, we know God. And we enter more deeply then into that reality when we love, when we can set aside those things that separate us, that divide us, Because God, of course, lives within himself in harmony and peace. And we are called to do likewise, to live in harmony and peace. But in order for that to happen, we have to go out of ourselves and allow another in. And in each relationship in which we do that, whether it be marriage, friendship, however we know one another, then we are living as God calls us to. And we can build communion, because that is how God lives, in communion, in unity within himself. And because God has established his church, the family of God, we are called to be in communion with one another. We gather here this evening to receive what we are supposed to become. We receive communion in order to be within communion and to give witness to the truth of who God is to the world. By our unity, we always remember that we profess that we are one church, one holy, Catholic, apostolic, one. And that means we work toward unity and do everything within our power to avoid division and separation, disharmony. Not only here, but within our home, within our neighborhoods, our workplace. Because wherever we do not experience that, wherever we do not work for unity, then we ourselves cannot experience that fully anywhere else. And that unity, that peace, that harmony begin here in the human heart. It's nothing that we can legislate. We cannot make it happen unless we open our hearts to it and desire it in our own life. And so, as Paul says, we have to be able to bear with one another. We have to be able to overlook. We have to be able to forgive and to have mercy. Otherwise, we won't know unity. We won't know peace if we wait for the other person to go first. If we wait for the other person to change whatever we feel needs to change in them. We are to begin here, brothers and sisters. Let peace reign in our heart, and then it can reign in our family, and in our friendships, and our relationships. And of course, in all of that, we focus on our relationship with the God who has made us, and who calls us constantly into that unity. I don't know that there's any generation of humanity that has ever been in more danger of that unraveling than our own generation. We who have so much and who have created so much for our benefit and for our use have also created a monster. The technology we love and that we cannot seem to do without is also what tends to separate us more and more and more. How many hours a day do we stare at a screen instead of having a one-to-one conversation with somebody? How many times do we converse with someone with an emoji or with an abbreviated word or with just so many characters by texting and tweeting and everything else that we can do rather than to speak to one another? And now we can even enter into virtual reality and separate ourselves completely I can't deal with real reality sometimes. I have no desire to go into virtual reality. Brothers and sisters, what we have is a gift and can be used well, but we must take great care that we do not allow ourselves to be more and more distanced from one another, separated by the very means of communication that we think makes it easier for us. We were called to live in a relationship with one another, in a very real, physical, present to one another relationship. And we dare not lose that. And so, brothers and sisters, we gather here this evening, hopefully setting aside all of those wonderful devices for an hour or two if I keep talking, which I won't, in order to be with one another and to continue to build up our communion together in Christ so that we can be the face of God, that we can give witness to the reality of the God who created everything and who calls us into love and who has given us the guide. Those commandments we hear about in the first reading are not meant to be a burden, but to teach us how to live well so that we do build community, that we build harmony, and that we avoid division. As we come forward then tonight to receive communion, let our hearts be filled with the desire to carry that communion forth into our homes, our workplaces, our schools, wherever we go, so that we can be those faithful disciples, that we can be the face of God as God's sons and daughters. Gathered then together as his holy people, let us stand. And with one voice tonight, let us profess, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages,